Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship. We have a skeleton crew, as they say, a representative group, where two or three are gathered in my name. Jesus says, I'm present as well. And so we've noticed on our website already that there's been about a three or fourfold increase in the number of people that are going there, people that are virtually participating in worship with us, and some through social media as well as the website. And so for those of you who are going to partake in our service of worship via Facebook or via the internet with our website, we welcome you to worship here at Emmanuel. Yesterday was Emma Matzke's 17th birthday, not quite the way she anticipated celebrating it, I'm sure, but we wish her a happy birthday. And also want to remind you that every day, we started this practice last week, going by Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It's when Peter and the apostles were released from jail, the first thing that God's people did is that they prayed. And after they had prayed, Acts 4:31, and after they had prayed, the place where they were all gathered together shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. And so we want to encourage people at 4:31 p.m. each day to join with us. If they want to receive an email, all they have to do is let me know. I'll send them an email with some prayer requests, etc. 4:31, based on Acts 4:31. God's people always pray. The other announcements are found in your bulletin. I would invite you to rise as you are able for our gathering hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is, hymn number 456.
King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Streams of living water flow, my ransomed soul he liveth, and where the verdant pastures grow, with food celestial feedeth. Perverse and foolish oft I stray, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently lay, and home rejoicing brought me. In death's dark veil, I fear no ill. With thee, dear Lord, beside me, thy rod and staff, my comfort still, thy cross before to guide. Spreadst a table in my side, thine unction grace bestowed, and oh, what transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. And so through all the length of days, thy goodness faileth never. Good Shepherd, make I sing thy praise within thy house forever.
Our service continues on page 1 of your bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The word is near you.
On your lips and in your heart.
If you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord,
and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Faith comes from what is heard.
And what is heard comes through the word of Christ.
Our Lenten song, O Word of God Incarnate, number 231. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you give sight to the blind and life to those who trust in your Son. May the light of your Christ pierce through our blindness and open us to your way of life. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
Our first reading this evening comes from Isaiah chapter 42. We begin reading in the 14th verse. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame who trust in carved idols, who say to the metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but he does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm tonight is Psalm 142. It is found on page 4 of your bulletin. We will read Psalm 142 responsive. With my voice I cry out to the Lord.
With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord.
I tell my trouble before, I pour out my contempt, my complaint before him.
I tell my trouble before him.
When my spirit faints within me, you know my way.
In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me.
Look to the right and see. There is none who takes notice of me.
No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul.
I cry to you, O Lord.
I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living.
Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low.
Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me.
Bring me out of prison, that I may give thanks to your name.
The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me.
Our second reading tonight, our epistle reading, comes from Ephesians chapter 5. We begin reading in the 8th verse. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Lenten verse.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud in my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such things?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight. And they asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. Well, normally this would be the time when we'd be having a children's message, but as you can see, the little ones are safe at home. And so for the parents that are listening at home, I want to give you a little tool, a little exercise that you can have with your children in the living room, around the fireplace, or perhaps around the dinner table. Who sinned? That's the title of the children's message. And here is the point that I was going to make tonight with the children. When something goes wrong, we always like to point the finger. It's called the blame game. You know, let's say mom and dad are gone, they come home, and all of a sudden something valuable has been broken. The first thing out of mom and dad's mouth is not going to be, "Oh, am I sure glad that's broken? I've been wanting to throw it away for a long time." No, instead they're going to say, "What happened? Who did this? Whose fault is it?" In other words, children from a young age, and those of us who are older know, the blame game pretty well. We don't want to take responsibility for things. We like to point the finger. And so parents, what they could do is they could use an example from their own home life, or they could hold up the palm of their hand and they could remind the children that each one of the fingers has a name, just like the pool of Siloam, which means scent. The pinky for making a pinking promise, oh, the ring finger, the place of promise and vow and wedded bliss, the middle finger, which I prefer that we don't use or talk about, okay? And then, of course, we have the thumb, thumbs up or thumbs down, and the pointer finger, which can be used to point people to Jesus or in accusation. It's your fault. Adam and Eve did not want to accept responsibility for what they did. Instead, they said, God, it's the woman you gave me. God, it's the serpent you made. They played the blame game. They pointed the finger. But here's what people forget. You know this. When you point the finger at somebody, there's at least three of them that are coming right back at you in accusation as well. So what does Jesus do in John chapter 9? He doesn't point the finger and blame the man who was born blind. He doesn't point the finger and blame the parents of the man who was born blind. No. Instead, Jesus points toward the Father. Let's see how God can get glory in this moment. Now, if you're explaining to your kids also about the coronavirus that's going on, this pandemic, and the children are afraid, it might be a good time not to be pointing the finger, like toward China and other places, but it might be a good occasion now for us as children and adults to say this. Let's see how God can do his work. And let's see how God can get glory even during this time of pandemic and fear. Well, that's what I would encourage the parents to think about talking about with their children around the table or around the fireplace. But for the big kids, my sermon title for tonight is called A Pool Called Scent. Siloam, that's what it means, scent. I'm reminded of a song years ago that I taught to kids and adults, and it was a song that was called Send Us Out. The words go like this. We have been called by the Lord. We have been saved by the word. Now let the word be restored. Now let the gospel be heard. Send us out to teach what God has done. Send us out to reach every single one. Send us out. Send us out. That's what the sent one does. He sends us. That's what John chapter 9, and in fact the whole Gospel of John, is about Jesus having been sent from the Father, and then he sends us out. Jesus is the light of the world, the light in whom there is no darkness at all. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. St. Paul, in his letter to the church at Ephesus, our epistle reading for tonight, he says, once or at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. What does it mean to walk as children of the light? Well, we walk in the presence of Jesus. We walk as portable temples with Christ shining in us, for us, and through us. And this Christ, he sends us out. Notice how our gospel reading for tonight, John chapter 9, begins and ends. It begins and ends with seeing and with blindness. Jesus, as he is passing by, sees a man who was born blind. And then when the gospel comes to a conclusion, we have religious leaders and people in the crowd who say, are we also blind? And Jesus says, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But because you now say, we see, your guilt remains. What does it mean to be blind? And what does it mean to truly see? Physically speaking and spiritually speaking. I read a story this past week. It was about a woman who was born without sight. She was blind, unable to see, and because she was blind, she hated everything and everyone, except her boyfriend, who loved her with the love of Jesus. She said, "If I could only see the world, then I would marry you." You see, her boyfriend kept asking her, "Will you marry me?" She said, "If I could only see the world, then I would marry you." Lo and behold, as time passed, the donation of eyes came her way, and surgically, the medical community was able then to put the new eyes into her body, her face. The surgery was successful, and then they removed the bandages. And for the first time in her life, she was able to see the whole world and her boyfriend, who had loved her with the love of Jesus. But she noticed that his eyes were closed and that he was blind. He said to her, "Now that you are able to see the world, you will marry me, yes?" And she thought about the prospect of every day seeing her husband with closed eyes and unable to see, and she said, "No, I cannot marry you." And her boyfriend walked out weeping and filled with tears. And a few days later, he wrote her a note, and the note said this: "Take good care of your eyes. Before they were yours, they were mine." He had loved her with the love of Jesus. Are we also blind? Well, if we were blind, we would have no guilt. But because we say we see, our guilt remains. Now, Jesus was not about to pass by the man who was born blind, but as he passed by, he saw him. That's how the gospel story for tonight begins. He saw him. Now, the disciples also saw something, but they did not see a man who was born blind. They simply saw a sinner, and they began to point the finger. Whose fault is this, that this man was born blind? Did he sin, or did his parents sin? Because every result must have a cause. It must be a punishment. Who sinned? Did you notice what Jesus said? He didn't point the finger at the man or his parents. He pointed the finger toward the Father and said, "Let's see what God can do. This is an opportunity for God to work. This is an opportunity for God to get the glory and the praise." We call that worship, my friends. The opportunity for God to get the glory and for God to get the praise. Jesus gave him the second birth. Jesus gave him living water. Jesus spit on the ground, and with the living water of his own saliva, he kicked some mud and he plastered it on the eyes of the man who was born blind. And then he sent him. "Go to the pool of Siloam," which means sent. The sent one is sending him to the water of sent. In other words, Jesus is sending him to himself, the living water, which gives us the gift of being born again. He goes as he's instructed, as he's commanded. He obeys. He comes back seeing. And does God get the glory? There are five conversations that follow this opening scene. The first conversation is all the people that have been hanging around, you know, the crowds. And there's confusion there because some say, "Look at this man used to be blind, now he sees." Other people say, "No, it's not him, it's someone that probably resembles him." You're just confused. And he said, no, I am. Repeatedly, he goes on and on and on. He says, I am the man. But they don't want to believe him. Well, then how did you get your sight? He said, well, this man named Jesus, he put some mud on my eyes. He sent me to the pool called Sand, and I came back seeing. As we watch what happens in these five conversations, we see how hardness of heart becomes more hard. And we see how physical seeing is nothing compared to spiritual insight, coming to faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Well, then he sent to the Pharisees, the religious authorities, and they're interrogating him. And they want to know what happened, so he tells them. And they said, well, we know this man's a sinner because this happened on the Sabbath. And everyone knows that you can't be kneading bread or dough or mud on the Sabbath. It's against the law. This man's a sinner. Well, all that the man who was blind but now sees can say is, well, maybe you think he's a sinner, but I think he's a prophet. And then the Pharisees do a little bit more interrogating. They go to the man's parents, but they don't want to have anything to do with this. In a sense, they've kind of disowned him because they don't want to lose their church, you know? I mean, they want to stay with their church, with the synagogue, with the temple. They don't want to be cast out. They don't want to become complicit. They said, he's of age. All we can tell you is he was born blind, that's for sure, but you go ask him. So then we get another conversation. It's the Pharisees, not with the blind man the first time, not with the parents, but now with the blind man the second time. And you can imagine at this point how frustrated this man who's been given sight is becoming, because they keep interrogating him, you know, over and over. Tell us what happened. He says, you want to hear it again? I've already told you. And then finally, he says, do you want to be his disciple too? You see how his faith is growing? How he's able to see with the eyes that Jesus has given him, the eyes of the heart? We are disciples of Moses. That's what the religious leaders say. We know where Moses came from. We don't know where this man came from. And then the man who's able to see now, he says, you don't know where he came from? Really? Duh! Never has it been heard that a man born blind was given his sight again. Never. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do the signs, the miracles, the works that he's doing. That's the last straw. The religious leaders, they say, you were born in utter sin and you're going to be teachers to us? You're going to teach us? Forget it. Not going to happen. And they cast him out. They kicked him, booted him out of the religious church. So what happens? The fifth and final conversation is happening. You see what happens? The good shepherd does not forsake his sheep. John chapter 10. That follows John chapter 9, by the way. The good shepherd does not forsake his sheep. He goes after them. He pursues them. So Jesus goes out to this man who's been booted, kicked out, and says, I'm not going to leave you. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man, who now sees, says, and who is he that I may believe? And Jesus says, you have seen him. You have seen him. In fact, I, who I'm speaking to now, am he. And then we get that beautiful conclusion. When the man falls on his knees, he makes his confession, I believe, and he worships him as the Lord his God, his Savior, the Christ. The little bit of the epilogue is when the others who have hardened hearts say, are we also blind? And Jesus has to say, well, this is the judgment. I mean, this is the crisis, the turning point for better, for worse. And anytime there's a crisis in life, in the church, in the world, pandemics, for example, anytime it's a crisis, a turning point for better or for worse, for God to get the glory or for people to point the fingers and blame, to hunker down and live by fear rather than the faith of Jesus and the compassion of Christ. If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, "We see," your guilt remains. Throughout the season of Lent, we're looking at faith stories. The faith story of David: "Create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me," Psalm 51. The faith story of Adam and Eve: "Not my fault, it's the woman you gave me," blaming, shaming. The faith story of Nicodemus: "You must be born again. Can a man enter his mother's womb a second time and come out? Not going to happen." Blame it on the wind. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound of it, you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. That's the way it is with everyone who is born again of wind and spirit, the living water of Christ. John chapter 4, last week, the woman, the nameless woman, the Samaritan woman at the well of Sychar, Jacob's well. "Give me this water so that I don't have to come here anymore." And Jesus pours the living water in her and all over her. And then she leaves her water jar. But we know that she takes the living water with her, because the first thing she does in Sychar is to tell the good news. That's what the sent one does. He sends us out to share the good news with others, to be his ambassadors, to be his children of light. At one time, we were darkness. One man's trespass leads to condemnation for all. So also, one man's free gift, death on the cross, following many trespasses, leads to justification and life for all who have the faith of Jesus. Are we also blind? "For by grace we are saved through faith." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. "I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long." Pointing to Jesus. Not in accusation, but in praise, giving him all the glory. In 1809, parents gave birth to their fourth child, a little boy named Louis. Louis was inquisitive and mischievous. His father was a leather harness maker, and so he worked with leather and with sharp-pointed awls, and so he told his little child, "You stay out of my shop. There are dangerous tools there." But little Louis, he went in there, he was playing with an owl, and he punctured his eye. It became infected. He rubbed it, the other eye got infected, and by the age of 4, little Louis was blind. But there was a priest who took him under his wings also, and he was able to go in Paris to a school for the youth who were blind, and he eventually became an educator, became a Catholic priest, became a great musician, playing the organ and also playing the cello. But perhaps his greatest contribution was this, that Louis went back into the shop and he noticed how that owl, how it raised the leather when it was punctured, and how he could then make little raised points so that one could feel and read and sing. We call it Braille. Louis Braille. He died at the age of 43 of tuberculosis. But his whole life long, when he could see at the age of 2 or 3, when he was totally blind at the age of 4, throughout the rest of his life, throughout his whole life, he never lost his faith in Jesus. And with every breath he took, he lived as a child of the light, praising my Savior all the day long. At one time, we were darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our hymn of the day is Amazing Grace, number 448. I invite you to rise as you are able. Our service continues on page 2 of your bulletin with our confession. In Christ, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. Sisters and brothers, rejoice. Mend your ways. Encourage one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated for our gift of music. Thank you, Margene. Such a blessing, Margene, able to play for us like this now at our services. Lee, our scripture reader, Don, recording our services. Julie, thank you all for making worship possible, not only for us, but for those who also participate in worship with us. Let's rise as we are able then. Page 3 of your bulletin. the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Holy God, our living water and our merciful God, together with rivers and seas, wells and springs, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and provided them water from the rock. We praise you for Christ, our rock and our water, who joined us in our desert, pouring out his life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this cup, all of you, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin, that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed
be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. This is the gift of God for the people of God. This is, in fact, the Pool of Siloam. This is Christ, the Sent One, who invites us to gather and then sends us out. We'll be practicing communion with one kind. That means the body of Christ, the wafer, which is his flesh and his blood, is sufficient. Come forward with repentant hearts and receive this holy gift. You'll notice that there's also hand sanitizer that you can use also as you come forward.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Rise for the table blessing. Now may the assurance of our Lord's resurrection and the promise of his coming again strengthen you in faith and keep you in hope unto everlasting life. Amen. We can continue with our closing prayers.
Let us lift our hearts and voices to the Lord in prayer that he would be merciful to his people. Yes. Holy Father, thank you for the light of the sun and moon, the stars, for streetlights, candles, and lamps. Thank you for these created lights that are the faintest glimmer shed from your true and uncreated light, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lead us, even when eyes fail and earthly lights grow dim, to his kindly light, which no darkness can overcome. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray that you heal the blindness of your church, Lord. Give it eyes to see its own sin and to repent. Give it eyes to see the world's sin and to offer your forgiveness to any who will receive it. Give it eyes to see the plight of all who are afflicted by the powers of sin, of death, and the devil, and to proclaim your gracious redemption bestowed through the passion of your dear Son. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let your healing, blessing, and grace rest upon the blind and the deaf, and upon those with impaired or distorted senses of touch or taste, balance, or movement. We often take these granted gifts. Unless it happens to us, we can't imagine lacking them. Give them strength and courage. Sharpen the perception of their other senses. Surround them with people whose respect and encouragement lead them to greater faith in you, their light, and their life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As your dear Son healed the man born blind, we pray that he would also bring healing, light, hope, and renewed faith to everyone who suffers from any kind of affliction. And now especially we lift up those before you that we name in our hearts and those we name aloud.
Gracious Father, we pray your blessings upon Keith Harrison and all who are battling and fighting the terrible disease of the coronavirus. Grant them healing and grace, O Lord. We pray for Melody, Michelle Paxson's sister, that you would grant her grace, O Lord, and deep faith as she battles once again melanoma. We pray for Dan Brooklyn, for Barb Stephenson, for Letha Bothan, for Kara Bothan and her family, for Kelly Stoyles, Denny Damerval, Elaine Jacobson, Pam Hammond and her daughter Katie, Julie Peterson, Judy Pierce's daughter Brooke and granddaughter Gabrielle, Brad Lund, Robert Harrison, Amy Cooper, Bernie Siebenhaler, Barbara Wills, Clayton Bundy, Karen Otis, Philip Coolidge, and the grieving families of Dave and Diane Malcolmson, Dennis Boatman, and Donovan and Nicole Lambright. Comfort them in their sorrow.
Father, we pray that you would lift them up from their pain, from their sorrow, from their fear, and their grief. We pray that you give them the joy of your saving help, now and always. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, gracious Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Our sending hymn, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go, the actual number is 324. Hymn number 324.
Its day may brighter fade.
through pain. I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust thy glory dead, and from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.